Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Awakenings with Michelle Meshe, the weekly dose of spiritual and metaphysical insights and information for navigating the soul path. Listeners are invited to call into the show for a reading or with questions and comments. Call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. Also, join the Sacred Space of Empowerment live chat to create a username, register with Blog Talk Radio. It's great to connect with all of you here.
Oh, yes, it is. Welcome, welcome, welcome in love and light. I'm your host, Michelle Meshe. And you have tuned into, turned into Awakenings Radio, part of the Converging Flow. Hello, everyone coming in the chat room and also everyone on the phone lines. We will be getting to questions and readings pretty shortly here. And a big hello and hugs, etheric hugs to everyone listening from Cosmic Dimensions, everyone listening from the archives, and, of course, all our iTunes listeners, our many international listeners. It's good to connect with everyone. So, many of you know me. I had to get my tea, having my decaf black tea right now, and then also had a little bit of a glitch with the chat. So, hoping you guys can hear me in the chat room. Not able to type yet in there, but we'll see what's going on. Lots to talk about. We also have a great guest coming on. Many of you know Myesha Hazard, Dr. Myesha Hazard. And she's been on before, personal friend and friend of the show. And going to be talking a bit about spiritual activism. What is that? And I also want to get her take on God. We were going to have this conversation, I believe, sparked by Sherry, who has written in many questions, and also offered to host some of some online workshops or courses or telecourses. So that'll be great. We'll be talking about that coming up pretty soon as well. Anybody, I'm open for any help. I've been getting quite a few emails, and I just have limited, infinite connections with all of you, but what my assistants have going on, they're not really able to add that to the list, and I can't either. So I'm very, very open. I've got the email list. If somebody does want to host, put together, organize any kind of teleconference, online workshop, however you want to call it, I'm there. I really want to be there. Get a lot of people saying, oh, you're doing things just locally right now. And just because there's some ease there. This kind of the system is already set up, if you will. I've got people that are hosting workshops. But that's how I do it. So those of you, you know, my assistant emails back, and it's not that I don't want to. I will travel. I love doing workshops. I love doing seminars. I love doing speaking engagements. But someone has to host it or organize it. I, at this point, can't put things like that together. So anyway, so I'm still not able to type in the chat. I don't know what's going on. I can put little hearts. So that's me saying hello, I love you. We are doing, as you all may know, and new listeners, please, we're doing where and how you listen to Awakenings. And I think I'm going to do it at least another month, maybe into June. And there will be a gift, maybe a little something special for the most innovative, craziest, unique way of listening. But there will be a gift for everyone. All you need to do is email awakenings@selfinlight.com. That's awakenings@selfinlight.com. And just let us know where and how you listen to Awakenings. And we've had some just really cool, I think the last one we got in was from Carson, who also happened to call in, who listens while driving it downtown, not going to say where, because we have listeners all over the country, all over the world. But I love it, delivering some kind of food and sometimes really into what's being said on the program. And we'll just sit in the car for a few more minutes, not that long. Food's not getting cold, just only a few more minutes. And just absorb and soak up, and also sent some appreciation. So I also want to really, really, really thank those of you that have been leaving, have liking the Facebook page. That appreciation is great. And also that have been going to iTunes and leaving wonderful feedback there. We've got a couple of new listeners overseas. Somehow, I don't know what they were searching for in iTunes, but they said, you know, they got to Awakenings Radio, and then they said they loved the feedback that was there, and that kind of sold them on the program. So we like that. We like reaching a lot of people. So call-in number for readings is 347-539-5122, and press 1 on the keypad. That lets me know that you want to be heard. Otherwise, I'm not, you know, you could be just listening, and I don't want to encroach if you're listening at work or at school. I had another person was listening, which I didn't know you could have headsets on, but maybe they had a hoodie or something, but was listening in school working. I don't know if it was a study hall or lab, or were they listening while the teacher was lecturing. I don't know. They didn't put that in the email. Anyway, so much love to all of you. It's always really, really great to connect with everyone. One thing I wanted to share a little bit, and then we're going to get to the phone lines here, is right now there's a lot, you know, we've had these retrogrades. We've also got Venus retrograde right now. We've got a wonderful little square Uranus-Pluto. A lot of people, I've been getting a lot of emails, people have called in, and I bet there'll be more calls about this feeling really, pinched. Pinched is the word I use. Pinched, kind of things, maybe for some people there's a lot of delays right now. For others, they're feeling like that the energy, overall everyone is saying they feel this intense energy. And part of that is the overarching aspect that we've had that moved in last January, and the energetic shift. How many people felt this in October? October of last year, we went into a more than 2012, actually, by the way, will be. We went into a new energy pattern that it was, you know, it's like kind of walking into a room. You go into the foyer and, you know, or the hallway, and before you get into the next room, let's say it's a really good party going on, or you hear some music. You can hear it a little bit, right? And it sounds good. And then you get closer, and you hear it more, and you feel it more. And maybe you see some friends over there. And then you get in the main room, and you really feel the energy. That's about where we are right now. So, let's see. What is Marley Kay? I can't remember as far back as October. Marley Kay. Well, since I work in patterns and cycles, with part of the work I do as a psychic channel, I'm really into I key into the dates and the energy around the date, not just numerically, but what's happening on a cosmic level, if you will, universal level. So, and some of you may remember we had 11, 11, 11. And also, remember in October, this is when the... the Wall Street, you know, the Occupy, OWS started springing at, which there will be many more of those. So we really got into this Aquarian energy of what's right. You know, Aquarius is about humanity. It also deals a lot with justice. And with the Saturn in Libra, Libra ruling justice system, it's like what is right? So we're kind of moving a little more into what's cosmically right. There's a balancing act that's taking place. So, one of the questions I had, and I'm telling you, I have at least 3, 4, 5, sometimes more times a week. We had it last week, came back again in a couple emails. Is this energy going to pass? The quick answer is no. The long answer is we've got to learn how to acclimate to it. There will be reprieves. There will be pockets of... things easing up, but it's really up to us to acclimate. I'm saying a lot of walks in nature, drinking a lot of water, A lot of more high content foods help. Good proteins, good sources of proteins, extra minerals, vitamins too. A good, you know, multi-mineral, multivitamin, but really the minerals, because we're really working with the mineral energy, the crystalline energy of us. So it's almost like we're high-end engines, Ferraris, and we're just being more and more tuned up, more and more tuned up. So some of it is kind of dusting off the old. Many people have been telling me they've been connecting with people in the past that they didn't think that they'd ever see again. So there is kind of there is a lot of that, you know, if you want to call it a deja vu, also going on. It is a time of reevaluating again, and that we've been in this overall arching of reevaluation, but it's really highlighted. I would say we got into the February, March of this year, and I would say into probably August, really an emphasized, probably more of an intense emphasis will be March to July, but you're going to see it hanging on, I'd say, until August, September, early fall. Denise in the chat, yes, reevaluation really big, yes. Reevaluation really big, and also, you know, look and see what's working. I can't tell you how many clients, and I get tickled because I'm like, wow, you're right on target. In my next blog post, I'm talking about this as well. You know, look and see. You don't want to be, this really hit me. I got this message from Spirit. You don't want to be somebody's solution. Many times we insert ourselves in situations because people are having problems and we become their solution. Now, we can assist them, but when we are constantly wanting, or people on the other end that they want others to be their solution, oh, you don't spend enough time with me, or you don't do this, or if only this job, or if only this would happen, what you're doing is you're cheating yourself from being your own solution. And if we don't let others be their own solution, we're cheating them. And they're cheating themselves. So it stands to reason right now that, and of course this is coming with this, you know, Venus retrograde, and also we still have the Saturn in Libra, where we're having to really balance out and look and say, gosh, do I keep coming in? I call it the pooper scooper. You know, people will not pick up their poo-poo. It's like at the dog park. If somebody is always picking up after someone, you don't learn how to do it yourself. You don't even see it. You know, years ago I had a really, really good friend. I love this. A really, really good friend. And I won't mention names because I think he listens to the show, and I love you dearly. But I went over to his house, and it was just like, you know, like a little dust, I don't know, a little whirlwind had been through. There was just everywhere. There was just stuff dropped everywhere. And I sat on the sofa, and I looked around, and I said, what happened here? He goes, what do you mean? And I said, I don't know. I said, there's just stuff everywhere dropped, you know, like you just didn't put it away. You didn't put it on the shelf, or you didn't put the clothes away or put the shoes. And he said, oh, yeah. He goes, that's true. And he goes, I just don't see it. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't see it? He goes, not that everybody that grows up with help is like this, but he said he grew up with a housekeeper. And he said, I never learned, none of this family ever picked up anything. He goes, now that you're telling me about it, he goes, you're right. And I said, yeah. He goes, well, I never realized, you know, to put stuff away because somebody was always picking it up for me. And I said, well, guess what? They're not here now. So I'm giving you permission to pick up your own stuff, you know. So right now there really is this focus of you're cheating others. It's really a form of love to say, I trust that you can do this, or I can't do this right now for you, or I need to spend more time on my own, or, you know, whether it's children, adults, whomever you're having to say this to, you need to be able to learn to do this. Otherwise, you know, because, again, it's that old saying of, you know, something's going on with the plane and the oxygen mask drops, and you put it first on your face. That, I would say, is absolutely in a way, crucial now to dealing with this intensification of energy. You've got to make sure you're doing your own maintenance. It used to be a luxury. It's no longer a luxury. It's something that you have to do. It's not going to get done for you. And those people that are doing that are still kind of playing out this kind of codependency of, I can't go here, you know, I can't go to the store unless you go with me, I can't do this unless you go with me, you know. Those excuses, those are trying to hold people back. And what people do, they either try to buoy you up, or they get inspired by you and swim near you, or they try to hold you back. And I'm not saying forget about people, but what I am saying is sometimes you have to swim up ahead, and that many times is a wonderful inspiration for others to swim with you to catch up, or catch their breath. I think Tamara put it in the chat. Todd's putting, take responsibility of your own essay. Yeah, if you don't take responsibility for your own shift, you're going to have a shift without the F in there. You're going to fall into because eventually we have to do it on our own. You know, we're all here to help each other and support each other. One of the things I also want to put out there for everyone is that take time for nurturing activities, as well as take some alone time. You know, hiking, walking, going with it, sitting in the bath. I've got this wonderful, I think it's called Knepp. It's a German, any of our German listeners, if you can help me with the pronunciation. But I believe the company name is K-N-E-I-P-P, Knepp. Melissa, they have some wonderful aromatherapy baths. So, you know, do a nice soak, you know, a nice, you know, bath. You can journal in there. You can read, or listen to nice music, whether a glass of wine, a glass of tea, glass of water, glass of wonderful lemon water, you know. Just look and see, you know, really right now, and give yourself permission that with this intensity, sometimes you do need to pull out or take a break, whether it's 10, 15 minutes, an hour, or more. And also, what really, really helps is aligning more to nature, really being out. And if you're living smack in the city, go to a park or be by a tree. Or I find you need to get out of the house. You need to get out of your flat, out of your apartment. And also diversions. Also, everyone, this is a time to widen your scope. So go out of your normal routine. Go into the next city. Go into the next town. Let yourself widen. Let your energy expand. Because there's some wonderful connections for everyone. You know, people part of your soul that are part of your soul group that you haven't yet connected with. You just need to widen your expression, your experience a bit. Widen your reach a bit. Those of you that are light workers, that are healers, allow yourself to widen your reach. Be able to reach other people, or go on YouTube, you know, whatever, you know, start a blog, Facebook. Don't even worry about who's reading or who's seeing. Just start expressing. Just start sharing. You know, it's really a time to expand your reach, but your reach through expanding your light, your insight. So the other thing is, make sure you're also engaging right now in activities that spark your creativity and passion for living. So if you feel you're kind of in the doldrums, get my tea right now, everyone. If you feel that you're kind of in the doldrums, or things have become a rut, or you perceive your job as a rut, that means you need to go in a little exploration. And I love to do this. It's on my Meditation for Everyday Living CD. I've got this focus meditation. It's also called an ascension meditation. Activate the upper chakras. Just doing some breath work and raising your awareness about 3 feet above your head, and say, I'm open to a wonderful experience, or I want some magic. I want to connect to some magic or mystery right now. and then just go out and just explore. Let yourself be. And also remember that busy doesn't necessarily mean not bored or what you're doing is on your soul path or soul purpose or it's fulfilling. So look and see, is busy meaning I have feelings I don't want to feel? Is busy saying I'm hiding somehow? Allow some space, because in the intensification of energy and the ascension process that's happening, aligning more to the higher self, your higher self is doing more for you than we can do on the little self. So let that part take over more. And on that note, we're going to get to some calls. Hello, 216-381. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hi. Thank you, Michelle. Thank
you. Hi.
Me, how are you?
Wonderful. And what's your first name?
Hold on a second. Drop the phone.
Okay.
Hello, I'm here. First name is Deborah.
What is it? Laura? Deborah?
Deborah. Mm-hmm.
Deborah. Hi, Deborah.
Deborah, yeah. Okay.
Yes?
Here's my question. I'm like doing things so that I can feel like I'm doing something, but I'm not really 100% sure, like, what is my passion? Because my situation is that before 1990, which is when I had a car accident and a near-death experience, I wanted to model and be an actress, okay? Mm-hmm. But I didn't really go for it 100% because as soon as someone said, oh, you're unattractive or you would make a good model, or I just stopped. So it obviously, you know. But now afterwards, I'm realizing, after the car accident and a whole lot of, you know, work, that I realized that that was what still interested me. But it's not, you know, so much plausible. I mean, yeah, they do have, you know, models that are physically challenged, and you do occasionally see an actor in a wheelchair. But mm-hmm. spiritual things really, really speak to me, like, you know, like the guests you're having today and things like that. But I don't, I mean, while it speaks to me and I really, really enjoy it and talking about gratitude and things like that, I really have no idea what direction to take it in, because the one thing I absolutely do not want to do is be like a pastor, like of a church.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, ministry takes many forms. You don't have
okay.
to, yeah, I have a minister's license, and I don't practice in that form.
I do too. See, that's
okay,
my
well, there you go. Okay. But the one thing is, myself having been a model and an actress, you can use that. For one thing is, there's be open to whether television, you know, because all types get cast at one point or another. So sometimes they have these, you know, real people castings. I would say be open to that.
Mm-hmm.
Also, what I hear for you, though, also is using that ability to sparkle and shine can also be in inspiring others, or doing talks, doing workshops, or, you know, even having a blog or doing articles or putting books out there or ebooks. Because all those things that you do, Deborah, you're going to have to do some type of promotional pictures, talks. You're going to have to do something promotional that's going to tap into that idea of liking to perhaps sparkle in front of the camera. Or, you know, I look at those things, the modeling, the acting. In a way, you're taking that, it's spiritual energy, that Neptunian energy, and you're creating something. It also has to do a lot with team, you know, because everybody on set has a role, right? Everyone has a role. Each person's doing that role to create something really amazing, right?
Right.
So I feel for you. First of all, I keep hearing, and I don't know why, and I don't know exactly your circumstances, but I do hear very strongly from Spirit is not to give up on that it may come in a different way, a different packaging than what
mm-hmm.
you considered.
Okay.
You know, I feel like sometimes we're on the way to something and something else happens. So
right.
what I'm getting for you is you putting yourself out there inspiring and assisting others, and you putting yourself out there creatively is going to somehow tie you into some of that modeling, or I don't want to say acting, but I feel something public, and I do see...
Right, because that is the one thing that I always enjoyed doing that I was kind of curtailed from since I was little, and that's talking. I mean, I love to talk. I could talk forever.
Ah, okay.
A lot of variety. And I was just always told, you know, when I was really young, children should be seen and not heard. But as I got older, I was told, you talk too much. And could you just please be quiet or shut up, you know, depending on if they were nice or not. I really realize I still do like to do that. I just don't know in what form. And I think that's the reason why I wanted to act, because actors get to talk and no one tells them to shut up unless it's part of the script.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, I keep hearing be open to that. I'm telling you, I mean, there are, you know, more and more whatever agencies, I don't know what town you're in, but there are online casting companies where you just upload your own picture, what you do, your resume, you never know what's needed. There is a push right now where you see people where they're actually hiring people that perhaps are, you know, physically challenged or handicapped, however you want to put it, or, you know, Down syndrome or whatever. Instead of having an actor play that, actually a person that is an actor but happens to have that situation.
Right.
So there is more of that. And I would say, you know, the soul likes variety. The soul does not.
Yeah, I realize that about myself. I do like a lot of variety.
So do it all.
You know, why I do this or that, and he's like, oh, I can just eat this for months, and I'm like, no, I got to have an apple one day, a pear another day, or an orange another. I don't know why. I really do enjoy variety. Enjoy variety in my friends. I enjoy variety in my clothes, variety in my food. I used to think that's not abnormal then.
No.
Okay.
Not at all. No, that's Marianne Williamson, the wonderful author, calls it, some people come in with a coat of many colors, some people a coat with one color. You know, some people are monochromatic. They just know this is what I want, you know, that 5, they're a pianist, and 85, they're a pianist, and that's it. Nothing wrong with that. However, there are other people, their soul design is very multifaceted. You know, we have multicultural, right? We have multi-ethnic, we have multi-universes. So we are, on some level, everyone is multi. It just depends on if they're allowed that expression or not. So I want to please keep in touch with us. Let us know how you're doing. But I'm hearing from Spirit, you need to just do it all. And I do feel the creative aspect is very, very much a part of you. Speaking, being visually seen, but I also do feel writing. I feel that you really have a gift of writing. You have a gift of communication. You came in really to just express and experience the highest form, I feel, of you, the highest form of unfolding, and to help others do that. So however you choose to do that, whether just by being you or overtly doing it, you'll be on your soul path. All right, Devorah, take good care.
Okay, thank you. I'm still, don't hang me up, though, because I'm still listening to the show.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Hello, 720-366. Welcome to Awakening. Oh, and
hi.
Marley Kay in the chat, hold one second, put voice over actors too. Thank you, Marley Kay. Good point for Devorah. 720-366.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing great. What's your first name?
Gibitar.
Say it again.
Gibitar.
Okay.
Ibbatar.
Oh, Ibitar. Thank you. Okay. Great. Did you have a question, comment, something you want to share?
Yeah, I have a question. I just have a question about I'm getting ready to go into an area that deals with holistic health, but my question is about my creativity and what that you may see in terms of my creative self-expression.
Meaning, what do you mean? You want to do something, you don't know what to do, and you're wanting...
Yeah, I know what to do, but in terms of my creativity, you know, it's kind of multifaceted, and I'm just wondering what direction should I go first?
The one that calls your heart, the one that calls your passion.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like for all of you, see, this is a whole new ball game. We've been taught that we need to, you know, once you get started on something, if you've ever seen how, you know, most, you know, artists work, they may start multiple projects, but one takes over. Or songwriters, oh, I was working on this one or this book or this article, but this one took over. It requires, you know, it requires a lot of trust to live spirit-led and to allow our soul design to unfold. But you have to set up, Ibitar, you have to set up the environment, the even just energetically, that I'm coming to this unfoldment, which is the present moment. I'm coming in this present moment, and this is what I feel like doing. I'm starting here.
Okay.
And allow, if that you may stay there, but something else may come in. I feel for you, what I really get to your higher self is saying, you've got to trust. Okay, you've got to not only trust yourself, the process, but there's something about trusting people around you. Mm-hmm. Has something happened recently where you're not as trusting, or you're a little, I don't know, I feel even some concern in your environment?
Yeah, well, that was a friend that I, you know, became acquainted with through this area. And, you know, I don't know, she kind of, her behavior just kind of showed me that I couldn't trust her totally. Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I feel. So what the spirit is saying is that, you know, in a way it's even like what happened with Deborah, you know, sometimes we have to do something, you know, even though others may not get it, you know,
right.
May not, and just to follow through on it. I can tell you really quick, years ago when I was modeling, I had, you know, I had some success, and I went to one agency because I had a job from a smaller agency, and it was a huge job. And one of the models on the set said, oh, you should be with my agent. And I went to the agency, and she basically told me I would never work. She actually said I was too pretty. She goes, you have to have more exaggerated looks. And I didn't quit. And then it turned out like 6 weeks later or a few months later, I got with that agency anyway because they had a new director came in. And I made them so much money. She actually pulled me in her office and apologized. She goes, you probably don't remember this, but when you first came in, I said, oh, yeah, I did remember. I think for me, I was so into my spirituality. I was so, you know, being other dimensional, coming, knowing that I come from another planet, I was so out of it anyway. I don't think I really realized half the time when people were dissing me or when they'd say, how are your legs? They'd look at my legs and they'd say, don't worry, you have a pretty face. And then I'd be like, weeks later, I'd be like, I think that was kind of a negative they said to me. Or I'd go on an audition and people would be like, what are you? Or your family was really friendly, weren't they? And I'm like, yeah, what do you mean? You know, I'd be like, you know what I'm saying? So for those of you that are, you know, putting yourself out there, there's always going to be, I don't even call them haters. They're just unaware. They're just, you know, they're going by life by this little rule book of what's right or you do this first, or this class, or this project brings more money, or do this or do that. And sometimes that works, and sometimes it doesn't. But for all of you listening, keep listening to the program and other shows like this, and surround yourself with people that say yes, where they get your sparkle. And that's what I feel with you, Ibitar. You'll get over this trust thing, this last betrayal, and you will trust yourself more and the process, and you'll let it unfold. That's what's stopping you from knowing which project to go on. It's the trust thing. So I want you just to kind of just start. Just start with the first one. Just start, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Big hug.
All right. Thanks.
You're very welcome. Hello, 646-824. You're on Awakenings. Welcome to the program.
Hello.
Hello,
honey.
Hello,
it's Earth
Mom.
Hello, Earth Mom.
Hello,
darling.
Hello.
I love it.
Woo, great to connect.
I know, it's wonderful. I got it right where I'm at, but I'm always different places where I'm listening. Right now, I'm overlooking the East River.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Nice. What's the weather like?
Oh, it's gorgeous. It's like really warm today.
Oh, okay. Nice,
and
nice.
Boat and river. It's cool. Pretty cool.
Very cool. And East River. Mm-hmm. Good. Now, do you see the theme? We have so many creatives. Also, are they in the chat? We have so many creatives calling in right now, and that is we are in the age of the soul, and the age of the soul is about creativity, because the big cosmic joke for everyone is you didn't come here for learning lessons.
Okay.
We learn anyway. We came here to express experience. We came here to love. We came here to express ourselves. So, with that, wonderful Earth Mom, let's dive into your question or thought.
Okay, and that is so what I want to do. And my whole life's rocking and rolling, twisting and turning. It's so different this month. I don't know if I'm going to have any kind of work next month, aside from maybe 10 hours in retail.
Okay.
And I was just wondering, who can pay rent? Whatever. But you
know.
But I'm wondering what you see and what you get. I mean, yeah, the only thing I want to do is creative stuff. And it's weird. I'm connecting. I'm not connecting. I'm getting close. I'm far.
Here's the deal. Here's the deal for everyone, though. And you, Earth Mom, you fall into this. Because we're in this weirdy pattern right now of start, stop, and reevaluation. There's a lot of things on hold. It's going to be, just please, everyone, have patience. even though it may come like to the wire, like, can I pay my bills? Oh,
yeah.
The energy, really October, November on, but I feel many people will feel it right around the end of the summer, right around August, this uplifting or things that you've been kind of seeds planting or things you've been putting energy towards, will just start coming right back at you. What do I feel with you? You do radio and blog talk. You do some of the radio. I feel you need to keep using your voice.
Yeah, I'm going to sing and write these two songs.
Okay, that's what it is. So that you need to be working on that, I feel. And I also feel there's something with local, like a playhouse or something with children, something with local, like either teaching or directing a play, or there's something with children you need to be branching out into.
Okay, I did one little thing with children for Earth Day, but there could be more, maybe. There could be more. And I got to ask you, I know this isn't, I'm full of myself to ask, but you think I'm going to get, my really big desire is to be able to write a song with Brian Wilson or one of the other guys in the band. Do you think that'll happen?
Well, the first thing I heard is not if you don't put yourself out there.
Yeah, and I do have this tendency to hide.
You do. See, that's what I feel more, you're not the only light worker that does this. So everybody heads up. That's the issue with the new light workers. And I actually did a blog post on it, months ago, maybe last year or even, called, the reluctant light workers. The old paradigm, the teachers of the old paradigm were really egomaniacs. And you still see them around. God love them. They're out there. They don't care, even if they don't know what they're talking about. They've got a bestseller on it.
Yep.
But the new rung of people are hiders. They're, self-esteem or what if someone else is going to do it anyway. What do I have? Mm-hmm. So you need to nudge yourself or get the support. I feel with you, Earth Mom, sometimes you drop the ball with stuff. You've got to follow through more. And say you're doing the Earth Day thing, then you need to let more people know about it or what you're doing and even, promote it or put it out there. Because I feel with you, you're like a resource that a lot of people don't know about. So your thing is, what I was talking about at the top of the program, is widening your reach, getting out there more. Little packets or emails or little promo packets, even coming to a school and saying, I want to do a free, class, and we're going to put on a play, or I'm going to do a theater or a dance class or singing, and then start branching out with those people, those mothers, those fathers, they have connections. You see what I'm saying? You need to get out more in the community is what I hear with you.
Okay. All right.
On a regular basis, on a consistent basis.
And even though I don't have the credentials,
my credentials, it doesn't matter.
Okay.
You're a singer, a dancer, you've done it already. That's old paradigm. What credentials? Your credentials are your life. Those are your credentials. Everything that you've done, your wisdom, your life experience, that's the credential.
Okay.
Keep us posted.
Will do, honey. Take good
care.
Right.
Big
Thank
hug,
you.
You too. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, 607-330. Welcome to Awakenings.
Hello. How are you? My name is Maggie. I'm calling from upstate New York.
Hi, Maggie. Great to connect. And what's
yes,
your question or comment?
Yes, it is. I'm wondering if I am working currently or destined to work in with those from off-planet.
Mm-hmm. Destined to work, well, many of us are connected with those that are off-planet. So it's really about opening up to that connection, to recognizing it. That's what I feel for you. So do you want to?
Oh, sure.
Okay. Go ahead, Bud.
I've just had some really bizarre experiences with regards to parallel universes, and I've even seen time travelers, and I've discovered I have amazing tools when I need them.
Mm-hmm. So what's your question? I've actually worked with people from the Philadelphia experiment, so I know all about that and the time travel.
Oh, well,
yeah.
Can I blurt this out on the air?
Oh, yeah.
What happened to me?
Yeah,
all right,
We love stories. We love it.
Okay, I was walking my dog one time. He's not a dog, actually. He just looks like a great big black huge one. And I know his appearance can be intimidating, but he's just another person.
Yeah.
And we were walking along off leash in a state park. And to make a long story short, this one policeman was waiting for me. There was nobody around. He pulled up, and he was writing me a ticket for walking my dog off leash. And I just maintained my balance, and I knew my sovereignty was being violated. And my heart chakra just opened, and this beam, it was so strong, shot out of my heart chakra and zapped the cop. It was so strong, I could almost see it with my eyes. And then a cop went from writing me a ticket to apologizing to me for almost ruining my day.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Maggie.
And I'm wondering, what's up with that?
Oneness.
Oh.
You know, it's very hard to do something like that when you're in a state of oneness. You know, when you're in that state of oneness, in not recognizing in seeing that there is no separation, we just separate out. It's hard to do that, and sometimes it even throws people off. It puts them into that, wow, what was I about to do? So yeah, you know, if people are more apt to say, hey, I'll give you another chance, or it's okay, or sorry about that, or you know, and move on, or not see. I've seen doing things that if you're in that state of oneness, sometimes things, you know, like situation like with a cop, get missed, or you're under the radar, or something isn't seen. You know, what separates you out from that person or doing something quote unquote wrong isn't seen. Yeah, it's very powerful. We learned this actually shamanic training. That is part of when you work with camouflaging yourself.
I have had experiences with
that.
Yeah, I just have the intention to not be seen. And I walked into a store and tried to even walk up to the people and say, hey, hello, woo. And they just totally didn't see me, as if I weren't there. And then later I told my friend, you know, I was in the store and you didn't even see me. She couldn't believe it.
Yep. Well, you went into the fabric. You go into the fabric. So, and what is, you know, that's where we all really reside, you know. So I feel with you, it's getting organized with what you want to do and creating the space for it, whether it's through meditation, journaling, or automatic writing, allowing the information that I feel, especially I want to say July and August, I feel like some downloads really coming through for you, is to create the space so that you have the consistency to connect in that way. And from that, you'll get your next, is what I'm hearing, next level if you choose to move on.
Awesome. I'm literally moving on. I'm leaving this state and I'm going to the Southwest.
Perfect.
And I'm
I already see you there. I see you around flatlands, vast. That's going to help also with you with the downloads. Maybe that's why I feel it's not for a few months. And even more into the fall is what I'm hearing, and into next year. But you'll have the space and the time and the locale to receive these downloads.
Awesome. Because you were talking about everybody's kind of like on a break or a breather, and you know, things just aren't connecting the way they used to.
Not
for me,
everyone.
It's the opposite.
No. For some, I didn't say everyone. I said for some, and I said the overall thing that everyone is feeling is an intensification of energy. For some, in this reevaluation mode, and the reevaluation mode is happening for different people. Some people, you've been doing it already, kind of mentally. And now things are moving around to get you in the new location.
Right. Mine are just kicking in now.
Yeah. Okay. Sounds good. Well, Maggie, keep listening, and thanks for calling in.
I will. Thank you very much for your conversation. I enjoyed it immensely.
Yeah.
I enjoy your program. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay. Wow. Beautiful, beautiful. And again, that call-in number for questions or comments is 347-539-5122. Okay, we're shifting gears a little bit here. We have our wonderfully awakened guest coming on, and many of you know of her already. We have with us today, as I said at the top of the program, Myesha Hazard, who's an innovative educator, behavior change specialist, and ageless wisdom minister. She holds PhDs in communication and transpersonal psychology with further graduate studies in international studies, telecommunications, and information science. She's got quite a lot of a background. Also hosts a program on Blog Talk. You can look under Spiritual Activist. She's also the co-founder of Kefra Institute of Applied Metaphysics. So I want to welcome to the program Myesha Hazard.
Hello,
Myesha. Hello.
How are you?
I am Zooming.
I can tell. I've been enjoying listening.
If that's a word, I don't know. If that's a state of being, I guess. Ah, Myesha. So we decided, I guess, because we're going to have some conversations on our own, just kind of you and me kind of things, and I thought, well, let's bring it to the listeners, because that's widen my whole thing, right? Widen the reach, right? Let
that
others have a... Sounds good?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Good. So I have a couple... I do want to dive into the God thing, because we talked about that before, but I also am intrigued with the spiritual activism. What is that? Yeah.
Okay.
What is that exactly? How do you view that term?
I actually view that term in two ways. One, when I first started using it again, it was last fall with the Occupy Wall Street movement. And as I was beholding all of that on television, and as I was moving around when folks got to L.A. and it was Occupy City Hall, I was realizing that there were a lot of people out there with signs and a lot of speeches and a lot of complaints and a lot of demands. And I was taken back to my childhood. My parents were civil rights activists. Mm-hmm. And as a very little girl, I remember being in meetings as folks were preparing to go on marches, or as my father was preparing us to go in and integrate someplace that where they didn't want us. And at the age of five, my siblings and I were taught the nonviolent direct action process, which is all about really discovering your soul force, discovering something within you that Mahatma Gandhi called satyagraha, or truth force,
mm-hmm.
and being able to stand in a place where people were speaking against you and actually seeking to move against you, and be able to stand with a sense of truth force, a sense of soul force, love force, and a sense of knowing that, you know, this is the right thing to do. This is the divine order of things. And stand there and watch people have to back down.
Mm-hmm.
Not because you were trying to control them, but
mm-hmm.
because you were standing in truth. You were standing mm-hmm. with the force of knowing that this energy emanating from your heart was the energy that was saying, you know, I have the right to be here. I have the right to be on planet Earth. I have the right to the good things of this universe. And I'm not seeking to withhold these things from anyone else, but I am establishing that it is mine to have. Mm-hmm. And I'm not backing down off of that. And so I remember going into situations where there were lots of people standing around clamoring against us. For example, the reason that at five I was in classes on nonviolent direct action was because my father had opened up the space for my sister and me to integrate an elementary school. So my very first time going to school ever was in my father's integration experiment. And we had to be prepared to face hostile crowds. Mm-hmm. Now, what I remember most about those meetings was that I sat there next to my mother, pulling on her skirt and saying, but why, Mommy? Why? Why? It made no sense to me that I was about to walk into a place where people were going to be hostile, where folks were going to spit on me and call me names and do other countless things. And that's what they were preparing us for. And it made no sense. I'm the baby in my family, and I played that to the max. And everyone in my family always protected me. And so the idea that there would be people against me was something that made no sense. But as we walked to school, just to give you an idea, the very first day, we actually were driving around to the school, and we had to get out a block and a half away because the streets were lined with angry people who were holding sticks and baseball bats and bottles and rocks and all kinds of things and calling all kinds of names. Mm-hmm. And we had to walk the last block and a half down the middle of the street that was lined with these angry people. And we got to the door of the school. My father had chosen not to walk with us, but we went with my mother and the minister at our church who had a daughter and a grandson who were part of the group. There were seven of us, and we were all between five and eight entering the school. And my father decided that his greatest place of power was to stay in a place where he was holding the high watch, mm-hmm. where he was holding the protective aura around all of us. And it was almost as if we could feel this energy in front of us that was clearing the path. Because as we walked, people who really wanted to throw rocks couldn't. They were holding them, looking like they were about to throw them, but it was like something was holding their hand back. Mm. And I remember getting to the front door of the school. We were walking up the steps, and there was a man standing there holding a jar of acid, of lye. Mm-hmm. And I remember him looking at my mother and saying, if I were you, I wouldn't leave my children here. You don't know what they might look like when you come back. And I remember feeling something coming through my mother, which I now call soul force, truth force, which is what Satyagraha is in Sanskrit that Mahatma Gandhi talked about. And she was a little lady, but she stood up as tall as she could. She looked the man in the eye, and she simply said, excuse me. And though he wanted to open the jar, he would love to have thrown it, he couldn't.
Mm-hmm.
And so I recognize this power that comes from the essence of who we actually are as spirit beings, that when we learn to activate it, when we learn to use it, doors open that people try to close, doors close that people try to open. The way is made clear because we're so clear about our oneness with everyone, so clear about the unity, the sacred unity of all being, so clear about the divine right to the good that's here in the universe, that everyone has to come back into alignment with that. There can be no one against us.
Mm-hmm.
So I remember many different instances when my father was coming up with these places to take us, when we had to truly stand in that place of knowing and watch people have to back down because they couldn't do anything else.
Yeah.
as much as they tried, from their egoic standpoint, they could not move against us.
Mm.
Or something came in front of them that pushed them back.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I talk about spiritual activism, I'm really talking about activating that soul force, activating that truth force, that love force, that is the very essence of who we are. When we're standing in the knowing that there's only one power and one presence, that the same unifying presence, the cosmic intelligence, whatever the heck you want to call it, that is
mm-hmm.
the source, the originating mind of everything
mm-hmm.
that is equally present in each and every one of us.
Mm-hmm.
Each one of us is born with 100% personal power. And the whole thing about power is whoever stages the best show of power, you know, they do a little dance, they put on a little drama, and if they can convince you to give away part of your power to them, then they get to lord over you. That's what bullies do.
Yeah.
They stage a show and they scare people and people give away their power. But the moment you take it back and say, wait a minute, our relationship is horizontal. There's as much of the infinite in me as there is in you, and I have the right to this. You watch people kind of step back because you've just taken your 50% of power that you had given them back, and it's 100% to 100%. And in that equal...
As is, it just goes.
Yes.
Yeah.
It does. So that's what I'm talking about. So I've talked long enough. I'll let you ask some more questions.
I love that. I love that. You know, I'm reminded of something, Maisha, that years ago, and it still amazes me. I worked with a group in was it Cal State San Marcos, I believe, and they had some racial stuff going on, and kind of scary. The bomb threats and some of the professors' houses were broken into and messed up, and then some of the assistants that work with them, the same thing happened, and they were having bodyguards. So I had been working with some of the professors, some of the teachers, and some of the assistants, and some few of them were coming to and saying, you know, I really don't want to do that. I don't want to have the gun. I don't want to have bodyguards, and I don't want to. Now they're saying we have to carry a gun. And this meditation, the ascension meditation, getting into the basically connecting to your higher self and seeing the other person that way. I said theoretically this should work. It should when you have that kind of connection, someone will not come after you or can't. And do you know we had some of the people do that? And they asked, what do you think? And I said, look, I don't know. I don't know that I would do it or trust it, to be honest. But theoretically, it works in sessions.
Well, I can tell you experientially that it works. We had the bomb threats. I mean, I can remember.
Well, I'm saying they did it.
Yeah.
They did it.
Yeah.
And everything, the people that were attacking them stopped attacking, the attacks that were going on. And I said, every time, just bump up there, just connect there, go beyond, you know,
mm-hmm.
go into that space of one, and totally work. So anyway, that's here and there. Many have had experiences with that. Do you feel that there's maybe a galvanizing energy or a call right now to maybe respond more from that place?
Yes, I think definitely that's what the call is. We can't fight the battle out and be victorious down here on the ground at the egoic level. Going to the space and arguing about it, that's not really where it is. Part of the issue is for us to claim who we really are. And that's what the standing in the truth force is all about. It's really standing in our true nature, standing in alignment with the higher self that you speak of, and recognizing that it's the same in every individual that we meet. And when we're standing in that place, then there's something awesome that happens. There's something that the other individual sees, whether at the human level they want to see it or not. They get a glimpse of something that they cannot deny, and it backs them up. And so in this day, as we're watching out all the things that are playing out in the political and the financial arenas, if we can know that what's being called forth is a new order, which you spoke about earlier in the show, that it's time for a new order, a balancing of energies, a redistribution of things. It's really people coming into a knowing that all of our needs are really met here. That's for each and every one of us. There's enough in this universe, enough in this multiverse for everyone to be completely supplied.
Mm-hmm.
And it's only the false ideas and the misunderstandings that we've been conditioned and programmed with that cause people to set up institutions that draw boundaries and that allow people to hoard and allow people to stage shows of power and play games with the resources of the earth, the resources of the universe. So definitely, I think this is a moment where we are to come into a new awareness, a new understanding of who we really are and how things really work in this multiverse.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, it's interesting, someone's putting this that issue for them with the money. I have found over the year, unless there's some kind of pathology, most people, whether it's food or things or money, when you have a huge excess, it seems to be something natural that you want to share or give away. So I love what you're saying. It's only because of some false conditioning or programming. There's some programming there that says don't do that, or you're not going to have enough if you do, you know.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause it doesn't seem to be natural. It doesn't seem to be organic within us. You know, it almost feels like we're taught that somehow. There's some kind of training that goes on.
When we are in alignment with our higher self, when we are true selves, the sharing is natural.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's recognizing that there's always more. There's always enough. That the universe is unfolding and expanding, and that the creativity, you talked about creativity with a number of people earlier today, the creativity is an essential aspect of who we are, being creative. And you know, we're made of the same stuff as the source creator, the originator of everything that is. Folks say made in the image and likeness, but that really means that we are the thing itself. And we have this phenomenal creative power. And I love what you said about, you know, giving up the school idea, being here in human form to learn. I'm so tired of that. I'm done with it.
Me
I'm
too. Finished. If I hear one more person staying in something that's not life-enhancing, well, I have to stay because I'm learning. I'm in a learning lesson. I'm learning lesson relationship. I'm like,
I'm so through with that and have been for a little while now. And I tell folks, no, this is a great adventure.
Yeah.
Where we get a chance to activate the creativity within us.
Yeah. Ooh,
as we move through this.
Aisha, yeah. Somehow we bought, I mean, it sold a lot of books. That was a programming thing. I'm going to say it on air. I'm sorry, everybody. That was a programming, conditioning thing, and it bamboozled a lot of people. But no, it's gosh, just what you're saying. It's that I love to, because I've got to mention, you do have, Maisha, a book coming out this July on Kindle called Soul Fire.
Yes.
Ooh. I love it. Can you give us a little
It really is about activating the soul power, activating the fire of the infinite that is within each and every one of us, fanning the spark. If you think of the seed of the divine being seeded, the spark of the divine being seeded in each and every one of us, and we have only to fan it with our attention, to fan it with our realization for it to blaze. And when it blazes, all of the creativity and the intelligence, the peace, the love, the joy are in full radiance.
Mm.
And we are our true self. And as the true self, we are in recognition of our unity with everyone and everything. And there's no battle. There's just the joy of creativity, the joy, the fun of this adventure in this dimension, this physical dimension.
Yeah, I love that. A real paradigm shift, you know, and I feel there needs to be a lot of whatever, books, CD, whatever, all medium needs to, you know, really support that unfolding so that, number one, people get that message or get the confirmation or affirmation of it, but also the support in a way that it's okay that you've come here to express experience, you know, to live this.
There's something that just flashed that I'd like to say, and that is there are individuals walking on the planet who deliberately and intentionally are trying to blow people's spark out. They can't.
Right, but they are trying. Yeah, yes.
They're trying to, they're at least diminishing people in such a way that people lose sight of the fact that they have these wondrous things, wondrous tools, wondrous aspects of themselves. Mm-hmm. And it's the whole idea that there's not enough air to feed everybody's fire so that it blazes. So they want to snuff out the fires of most of the folks so that they can be the biggest sun in the room. And to let people know that, yes, it is true that people who are filled with false ideas and misunderstanding, they've been conditioned and programmed at that level, and they're misusing the power.
Mm.
It's the same power of creativity and intelligence, simply being misdirected because they think there's not enough for everybody.
Mm.
And there really is enough.
There's more than enough,
More than enough.
Create another dimension, you know.
It's interesting that scientists have, astrophysicists have discovered for sure that the universe is expanding. And they think that one of the reasons for the very quick expansion, because it's quickening, if you recognize how fast time seems to be going, it's because something really is happening and time is really going quickly. And they think that what's happening in the fabric of the cosmos is that all these parallel universes are all expanding and pushing each other, and so everything is going faster, and everything is expanding more and more and more, which means there's more and more and more, and it's endless, it's ceaseless, it's infinite.
Absolutely. And to me, what people should recognize, that's been going all along since, you know, some form of history, verbal or recorded history. There is this awareness of this expansion. I don't know, but you know, from time immoral and beyond, there. That's how we got. You know, there's this expansion. It's always expanding. Just want to let people know we're on air with Myesha Hazard. If you have a question or comment, you can call 347-539-5122 and press 1 on the keypad. That's if you have a question or comment relevant to what we are chatting about. And also you can find out more information at Kepra.com, and that is, what's this, the Kepra.com.
Right. It's actually Kepra-im.com.
Oh, I've got two different things. Oh, Kepra, okay, -im.com.
Right.
Is the other one, something was under construction, or is that?
Kepra-im will tell you about Kepra, but it is under reconstruction. We have new information that needs to go up. Over the last couple of years since I left the last place where I worked, I've been handling, you know, all the media things and the internet things, the web design and all of that, and teaching the classes and you know, all of that. And it got to the point where it was like, I don't even care if the website is updated or not. Leave it be. I have other things to do. And
exactly.
And, you know, I hired a couple of folks to do the website, and somehow that fell through the cracks. So there's somebody now who has taken that on. So, you know, go to the website. You'll find out some things about us. But please pardon the old dates that are still there. But that's Kepra-im.com.
Okay.
And
put it in the chat.
Yes. So that's the way that is. It's a good thing.
Kepra-im.com. Got it
right
there. But also you're on Facebook and you've got the Blog Talk program as well under spiritual activism. So people can find you.
Yes, they can.
Yes. Good. So I don't know if we have questions. I've got some people online. I don't. Let's see if they have a question. Hi, 917-692. Did you have a question or comment for our guest?
That's Marley. How are you?
Hey, Marley. Hi. Doing great.
How are you, Myesha?
I'm well.
Thank you for speaking to us today. I have a question regarding the ideas about power and love. You know, like the idea that that there's somehow, I don't know, like they're connected to jealousy and feeling that if you fall in love, then I can't have it. I'm not sure if I'm being clear, but I'm really wondering what's going on with that whole paradigm.
Like jealousy kind of thing? Like power over, like if I have something that you can't have it? Or can you explain a little more?
To get personal, basically, I found out a few years ago that my grandmother had lied to my real father in order to get him away from me. And I always grew up with, like, that whole idea that, you know, I didn't know that. She kept telling me that he wasn't coming to see me because he lost interest in me. But the truth is, when I finally got to speak to him as a grown-up, the truth is she had kept manipulating things and keeping him away from us. So I always had this feeling of, like, you know, there was, like, that she had to have all the love in the world kind of thing. I don't know if I'm explaining. So I'm wondering I'm trying to understand where that comes from, because it had a huge impact.
Okay.
You going for that one?
You want me to? Well, the first thing that came to my mind is the programming, the conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And you even said it, Maisha, you know, of not having enough. So in other words, I have to keep you separate from, you know, the daughter, because, you know, there's not enough, you know, or using as a tool. I think it's, what do you think, Maisha? I think it's wounding, unhealthy programming, right?
Absolutely unhealthy programming, false programming, I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And misunderstanding. And, you know, it's definitely the not enoughness that is there. And as well, it's about safety. It's what I find is that there are a lot of people in love relationships who hold on to the ones that they feel safe in. And they don't want those individuals to love anybody else because they are afraid to be in love with anyone else, afraid of being hurt. And so they feel safe in the cocoon of this very closed system of the three of us, you know, one for all and all for one in this small group. And so don't step away from this and love anybody else, or I will be left vulnerable. I will be left alone.
Mm-hmm.
I see, that really resonates with me a lot, because, I mean, if I were to meet a guy and I were to find out that he beat his former girlfriend, then I would be afraid, thinking, oh, my God, he beat his former girlfriend. He could do that to me. But when people think about it in terms of love, they feel jealousy. Like, oh, my God, he was able to love somebody so much. Like, why, you know, it's almost like they feel like, or I seem to have encountered that whole idea of, like, if you love somebody, then you can expect less love for me, and that just makes no sense.
Love is infinite. I mean,
yeah, I was just going to say, in an infinite universe.
It's an infinite universe, and it simply is. And it's not partialed out and separated out a little bit over here and a little bit over there, a little bit over here, and then you don't have any left.
Exactly.
It's not like a pizza.
No, exactly, Maisha. I love it. Yeah, it's not like a pizza. It's not,
where you give it out and it's eaten up and it's gone.
Yeah, and I love what you say. So what do you feel, because I've seen this with people, like even family members, that they stay, you know, again, the false beliefs, there's this unhealthy enmeshment, and you can't go outside, or they isolate, or you can't do this without me. You have to go with me to do this, or you can't do it alone, or you can't have other friends, you know, only me. I've seen this with not just family members, too, you know, but I guess what's a recipe to help people get out of that?
I hear you. Let's talk about it. It's in families, and it's in communities. It's in racial groups. It's in church groups and synagogues and temples and mosques that you have to stay with me. I think one of the greatest fears some people have is that their children or their friends will go and join another group and won't be with them anymore. And so they set up wars between their church and that synagogue, that temple, or that mosque, because they want their family to all stay with them in the same thing, and it's scary that they might leave me. and I'll be left alone. And also the idea that if you go over there, that means that there's something wrong with me that you don't want to stay with me, that you don't want to be like me. You don't want to be with me all the time. And so it does come from that inner sense of having limited supply of love, limited supply of access to the universe. When you think about it, often on the programs, I will say to folks, you know what? You're not just a citizen of Los Angeles or California or the United States of America or even planet Earth. You're a citizen of the universe. Oh, wait a minute, there are other universes.
Yeah.
A citizen of the multiverse. Oh, wait a minute, there's a cosmos. You're a citizen of all that is in all that is, period. And to enlarge the territory so we realize that we have access to more resources, human resources, material resources, creative ideas than we could ever exhaust. But if you think that you only have what's right there in your immediate environment, that that's the only, those are the only resources that you can look forward to touching and tapping into, then it is scary.
Mm-hmm.
But when you realize there's a whole world out here, wow.
Yeah.
Who's that over there? And still enjoy maintaining the relationship, the connectivity with the people that you started with.
That you've got the reach, the widening the reach. You know, I found something, and it's great you bring this up, Marley Kay, because I, through my life experience and working with people, I came to find out, and I want to get your take on this, Maisha, that, you know, I'd have people coming to me, oh, I want to work on their success, I'm afraid of success, I'm afraid of failure. Actually, what I found, most people, why they hold themselves back, it's precisely what you're saying, Maisha. It's ultimately a fear of not having love, that the friends or family won't be there, or they'll change too much and they won't have love. Or if I change or I make a lot of money, then my old friends won't understand me or like me. Or I'll make more money than my parents, or somehow I'll go away. I won't be near them. I really find it boils down, it's all about, you know, love, connection, affection. It really has nothing to do with dollars and cents or even fear of being seen. It's really about, will I have love? Will people, you know, will I change so much that no one will be near me?
You know, it's an interesting thing. Even if people know that they will still have love, it's, will they believe that I still love them?
Mm-hmm.
If I move out, I've seen it in so many situations where people have had everything's going for them to make the change, to change their lives and take advantage of new opportunities. But the people that they're around are so afraid to lose them, so afraid that they will prefer other people.
Yeah.
That there's a pull. Please don't leave me. If you love me, you won't leave me.
Mm-hmm.
If you love me, it's not always spoken that way, but if you go away to school, you may never come back, and that don't mean that I'm not enough for you anymore. Mm-hmm. And so the biggest impediment to a lot of people changing their lives, you see that with people who have addictions. You know, the people that they've been hanging out with are so afraid for them to change and heal. You see it when I've worked with kids who are in gangs. You see it with them that they're ready to make the change, but the other folks emotionally hold on to them and hold that you can't leave me, and they feel guilty.
Yeah. The guilt holds them back.
You have to leave them, actually. Sometimes, like, in order to heal, you actually do have to leave them.
And quite often, that's true. You have to at least know that in your own heart, that I know I still love them.
Yeah.
And it's important for me to do this for myself. Mm-hmm. And I continue to send the love to them. You know, there's a new spiritual awareness and understanding that has to take place, that my love is not lost when I'm in another place, that there's no separation, no distance, and no time between any of us. The love remains.
Yeah. Right. And I think reframe it. You're not leaving. You're just focusing on you.
Yes.
Right? I mean, if you go in another room in the house, you're not leaving the person, or you know, Marla Kay, thanks for hello. Thanks for calling
you.
In. You got, that was great, Marla Kay.
It was.
That was a good.
I want to say about going in the other room. For some people in relationships, if one person goes into the other room to be still and quiet or to take care of something, that is
being left. Yeah.
Leaving them, being left. And so it's when we enlarge our territory, when we enlarge the universe, our perception of the universe in which we live, I think it makes a major difference. Some people are living in very small spaces with a view that there are limited resources.
Mm. So it's really going back to that. Let's see. We've got callers. Yes, you not too late to call in if you have a question or comment on topic. Let's see. I think we have... Hello, 631-392. Did you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I actually had a question. My name's Rita. How are you today?
Hi, Rita.
Hi. I had... Well, first, I went through a divorce, and my husband was retiring right before that, so I stopped working. But I was in sales my entire life, and so now I've been back at my mother's. I had the last 3 years to, I guess, decide what it was I'm going to do when I start working again. And I had, for 3 years, I thought I was going to be doing this healing with my hands, and just recently... I've been getting contact from the other side. I mean physical contact.
Now, Rita,
audience.
I'm going to scoot you along just to the question because we're running out of time. But I wanted to make sure you got on air. So what was the question?
What my question was: am I going to be doing medium work? Because that's the message I've been getting for I guess the last week.
Well, I'd say start now.
Okay.
Any thought, Maisha? When you get a message from spirit, what?
When you get a message, that means you have already started medium work, and so,
oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
it's happening.
I thought it was something else for 3 years, and then I just got a clear message. No, it's going to be this way instead. You know, you're going to be doing medium work with the other side, I guess, to help people on this side.
Okay. Well, you know, with medium work,
we'll continue this off. Thanks for calling in, Rita.
Okay.
Go ahead, Maisha.
The sense of being connected, whether people are still in a physical body or not, being connected to one another, that there's always a message coming to each and every one of us. It's whether or not our filters are cleared so that we can perceive it in our conscious mind. And so because we're always still connected with one another. I mean, that's just the truth of it all. And what may be happening to you now is that you are more willing to recognize the connectivity, whether it's between folks who are no longer in the physical body or the sense of connectedness, sacred unity with everybody on the planet. There's an opening that's taking place, it seems to me, Rita, in your inner being where you're realizing the connectivity that has always been there, you are willing to pay attention to now. And you can use that in any work that you do. It can be work as a medium where you are bringing messages specifically to different individuals, or it could be that this new growing sensitivity and awareness allows you to perform in new expanded ways in any profession, in any career, in any work that you do, in any relationship.
I like that. I like what you say, too. Once you get the message, you're already doing the mediumship. You're getting the message. You know, hearing it, I was like answering the call, but it's starting then if you're already receiving the message. Any thought you have that helps people when they start opening more, Maisha? Anything that you could share with our listeners?
My sense is to hold the highest intention, to want to use it in love. Use it for the highest purposes. I had a teacher once years ago when I was a teenager who said that it's so important to know that we meditate all day long and that message, what are we paying attention to? What are we focusing on? And that it's so important to be clear about actually what I really wanted to say that he said was the affirmation is, I am clairvoyant, clairsentient, and clairaudient from the highest spiritual standpoint. That's really the message that I was trying to get toward. And another one popped in there.
I like that.
But I'm clairvoyant, clairaudient, clairsentient from the highest spiritual standpoint. That means that I'm aware of, I open my consciousness to the messages that inform my life in the highest ways, for love, mm-hmm. for joy, for peace, for harmony, for creativity. Because there are lots of messages that are in the air.
Yeah.
And all of them are not ones that I want to entertain, because they're not for my highest good or for the highest good of anyone.
Yeah.
It's like, you've got this multi-band television or radio. I'll just deal with premium channels on my satellite offering. Yeah, you know, I flick around and we've got 3,000 different choices. Some of them I don't want to click on. They're not informing me in a way that's going to expand and enhance my life. But there are a few programs where it's like, oh, now this I need to know. This will actually be information someone can use for good purposes. And so I think it's important to get clear about that. Because sometimes you can end up getting confusing messages from confusing entities. They are confused, and they don't serve anyone.
So it's in a way knowing yourself too.
Knowing yourself and setting the intention. The intention to be open to the highest and best, the messages that inform my life in positive ways and inform other lives in positive ways.
Beautiful.
Like I don't think it's real healthy.
Aisha, we're at the 10-second. We're winding out.
Okay.
Boy, that was quick. Love to have you back on, and especially when Soul Fire is out. Those of you listening, our guest has been Maisha Hazard. You can reach her at kephra-im.com, kephra-im.com. Also on her radio program on spiritual activism right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can find it under Spiritual Activist. And, of course, she's got the book Soul Fire due out July of this year. Always a pleasure, Maisha. I'm glad that you could come on the program. Big hug to you.
And to you. Thank you.
Thank you. And big hug to all of you listeners listening now and in the archives and on iTunes. Really, really appreciate all the wonderful, wonderful healing energy coming from the chat room and the great questions. We had some really great questions. Not just on the readings end, but those were good too. That really sparked, I think, some really relevant, pertinent discussion, communication, and some things that we all need reminders of, and maybe even some bringing a new awareness on some of the stuff that we talked about today. As always, every Wednesday from 12 to 12:45, we have readings, channel guidance, insight, healing, meditation, your questions and your comments, and also email me at awakenings@selfandlight.com for where and how you listen to Awakenings, and also any questions you want answered on air. And always, always keep shining your light, sharing your insight, and of course, keep awake.
Awakenings broadcasts every Wednesday, 12 p.m. Pacific Time. Archive shows are available on iTunes. For continued Awaken conversation and insights, join the Awakenings group on Facebook and visit Michelle's blog at soulinsightsforspiritledliving.com. That's soulinsights, 4, spiritledliving.com. Keep awake.